Hey, everybody. It's great to be together again. And, man, I'm looking forward to today. I've got a lot of my family with me, which is appropriate because we're going to be talking about balancing family and ministry. And, you know, it's a different day, Tamara, for you and me because there were 12 years where we had four kids in the home. And a lot of mileage put on our tires in your Suburban. And you knew the back roads better than I did. We used to get in that Suburban. You say, no, we can go quicker this way. And it was a fun season of life. And now we have four grown kids. And we have five grandchildren. And so it's a great stage of life. We'll talk about some of the structure we live with now. But when your kids are close and, you know, whenever they drop their grandkids off and pick them up on time, it's a good thing. So anyway, I'm looking forward to both Tamara and the kids sharing with me today. We're going to talk about seven things I think are going to be really insightful about balancing ministry and family. But Tamara, you kind of seen it from two different sides. You saw it as both a pastor's daughter, and you've been a pastor's wife now 35 years. So talk to us a little bit.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. First, we're so glad that you joined us today as we talk about balancing life and ministry. And any of us that have been in ministry for any amount of time know how important it is and how much effort and intention it takes really to balance life and ministry. You know, one thing that I've found after, you know, these few decades in life and ministry is that we just have to keep adjusting to new seasons because seasons change. And you know, you just have to keep finding new balances in each season in ministry as family grows, as family dynamics grow, as the church grows. You just have to keep adjusting and being flexible. Jesus said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And he teaches us how to find, I've found that he teaches us in every season how to find that balance that's right for each of us. And I'm grateful that we don't have to live stressed out.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, we'll talk about that under point one, that failing to plan is planning to fail, because if everything's changing around you and if we're not adjusting well to that, that's a big, big challenge. But before we get started, we always like welcoming our new members to the Significant Church Network. And I thought since Mike was the director and Christy is the coordinator, we'd let them go ahead and do that today.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Hey, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
So good to be on with you today. Let's welcome our new members. I'll do the first page, you do the second. Sounds like a plan. We have Isaac Ndinche from Freedom Fellowship Church in Oklahoma City. We have Diego Colon, Iglesia Vida Abundante Church in Eloise, Florida. Tree Cooper from Cornerstone Church in Windsor, Colorado. John Ellison from Lakewood Chapel in Arlington, Illinois. Ken Fellenbaum from Wildermere Beach Congregational Church in Milford, Connecticut. Kevin Goff at the Rock Church in Goodyear, Arizona. Cecil Linky from Community Church in Allen, Texas.
And we've got James Matt from Bethany Church of God in Sterling Heights, Missouri. We've got Jason Moore, Woods Bend Community Church in West Liberty, Kentucky. Michael Morin from Legacy Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Samuel Sarapung, Living Word Outreach Ministries in East Hartford, Connecticut. And we've got Chas Stevenson from Houston Faith Church in Houston, Texas. Jeffrey Wilson, Life Point Church, Kettering, Ohio. And Johnson Mutamba and Miracle Life Church, Kampala, Uganda.
Awesome.
Welcome, everybody.
Yeah, welcome, guys. We are so thankful and glad to have you along for the ride. Man, we appreciate you so much. And it's such an honor to serve you guys. Thank you for all that you do. We believe you guys are so important, significant, even. Yeah. It's in our name. And we just count it an honor to bless you, to be able to serve you and celebrate who you are. So welcome to the network.
Welcome to the SDN family.
Yeah. Well, we cannot wait. I've been really looking forward to this. Tamara, this is really the bottom line. Here's why. Is if your family crumbles, your ministry is going to crumble with it. And somebody needs to say that to us right off the bat. Yeah. Is, hey, if your family crumbles, your ministry is going to crumble with it. And even more than that, I promise you, if your ministry prospers and your family doesn't, you're not going to be happy. Mm-hmm. So it's so important that we learn these seven things today and that we practice them. I mean, of all the things we'll learn this year, there's nothing more important than what we're going to learn in this 30 minutes together. And that's why in 1 Timothy 3, twice, God talks about the pastor, and he says, you know, the pastor must manage his household and his family well. And, you know, none of us have perfect families. We're all growing, and we have things we've got to work through. But I think what that scripture is saying is, man, pastor, work on your family, because really what you're trying to do in the church is put together a bunch of healthy families. So we're going to talk about seven things to do that. And here's the first one. And those who know me well are going to think I sound like a broken record. But you have to plan to be excellent at every important relationship. All excellent relationships have two things in common. Number one, there's a compelling vision. We're excited about who we're going to become. The second thing is there's a clear plan that tells us how we're going to get there. And believe it or not, most people that are struggling, they don't realize it just got too complex. It got out of hand. Come back to the basics. Get a clear plan. Remember why you fell in love. Remember why you couldn't wait for that son or daughter to be born. And then just put things in place that cause you to really excel at that. So, Michael, talk to me about that.
True. We plan so many different things for the holidays that are important to us, and relationships are definitely, you know, a key part of that. And I've kind of found a few things. One, a lot of times our schedules are different in ministry than, you know, most of our families or friends. It kind of reminds me of like retail. Some people in retail experience that too, where the holiday seasons can actually be extra busy. And so a couple simple things that we've found that really helps. One is just like you're saying, plan it well, put it on the calendar, because our calendars will fill up really quickly. And so if it's important to you, if the relationship is important to you, you know, get ahead, get it on the calendar, and then communicate well with people. You know, we've learned to get in a rhythm with our friends and with our family where we're making plans ahead, because rehearsal schedules will come, different schedules will come up. And if it's not, you know, on the calendar early, if we're not communicating well, people might get hurt. They might get offended. They may not understand. But when we communicate well, we get it on the calendar. It helps us not miss things, you know, because things come up. So Christy's been really good about helping with,
you know, with that. Well, you know, all our friends and family, all our family on both sides are here in Victoria. So it can sometimes get a lot to handle and, you know, get everybody to make sure we see everybody and do all the things. Mm-hmm. So I have liked to put this little calendar. I got this little calendar from Amazon and I put it on our fridge, and it for each month, it has every single thing that we're doing, you know, every event we have, every party, every birthday, all that. So that every morning when we get stuff out of the fridge, we see it, we could check the week or the day or whatever. And that way we know what's going on. So it just keeps us really organized. And, you know, that's just really helpful to keep us together. You know, I know all of us could probably have, if we wanted to, could be at a Christmas party or a birthday party or something every weekend. So this just kind of helps us prioritize and, you know, stay on track and just all keep in tune and be on the same page together.
Yeah. So if you ever see that your grandkids, your children are missing, that just means Mimi kidnapped them and your plan got affected. But Andrea, talk to me about it, because I know that this is something that, you know, it's been big to you. Christy talked about planning, and that'd be the second thing that I'd say is don't just plan to be excellent at all important relationships, but then start planning to do what fulfills everybody overall and individually. I mean, for us guys, we like sports stuff, right? So Jeff and I and Michael, you know, we're going to like watching some Steeler games and talking like we know what to do and that Coach Tomlin should listen to us sometimes. Yeah, Jake to the mix. We got a Cowboy fan now. We can trash talk. And we guys we're having lots of fun, you know. But Mom, she likes making cheese dip and serving, but that's not her idea of a good time. Things are way different. So, Andrea, one thing that I've noticed that you do really, really well is that you really plan individually to people's hearts. Talk to us about that.
Sure thing. I got a little one right here that doesn't care about my plan too much, so I'm going to pick him up real quick. He's home from school. Stick to it. Thank you.
Hi, Linky.
Hi, Linky.
Like your hair, buddy.
Hope you feel better.
Perfect timing. So, Dad, I want to reiterate your question, but what you were saying is that there's so many people to consider in this time. Yeah. And so you're asking, how do we do what fulfills both us and others?
Yeah,
is that right?
Yep.
Well, I can think of this kind of as a mom, so maybe a little bit of a different perspective, but also as a wife and someone involved in ministry too. You know, first of all, it can be hard to think of yourself because you're constantly thinking of everyone else. So I think at the beginning, it is important to stop before you get into the season. Take a little bit of time and say, you know, how can I inject bits of joy into the season before the stress threatens to take over? So think about, for me, that might just be getting up a few minutes for everyone else, you know, having coffee to myself and then getting into the business of the season. So I kind of try to plan a few things for myself, making sure I have time, you know, to stay fresh and keep my focus right. And that helps me focus on myself in the season. But then I am better able to invest in everyone else for that season. And so what you guys talked about was so right. As we plan both for our family, because, you know, I work with mom a lot on the calendar for our family. And then for my personal family, we just, I just try to think through everyone's passions, everyone's what they enjoy doing, and try to include things that make everyone, you know, enjoy the season. And then you, like Mike said, you just plan far enough in advance to where people, it's hard to, it's very easy to be gracious when there's a plan. so you just plan ahead and then walk through the season that way. And so just keeping, like I said, keeping your cup full helps you to invest in other people well. And then you just keep everybody's personal interests and passions in mind as you're creating that calendar. And I feel like it just really helps the whole way around.
Yeah, well, we appreciate all the planning you do because a lot of it gets delegated to you. That's just a reality. And
thank you,
she is gracious. Sometimes she has to have a talk and say, hey, guys, we need an answer from you today. But I appreciate how gracious she is. Jeffrey, I want to hear from you because I was a youngest child. And when you're a youngest child, the bottom line is, man, when things are being done to please everybody, you really have to have an understanding of the value of family to do a good job of both enjoying, hey, I'm just 20, I'm not here with a bunch of kids, and at the same time, I want to be part of a family.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that we learn to prioritize what fulfills us individually and overall from a young age, and I say that because y'all know this, but I'm just telling whoever's watching. Back in the day, we would have a weekly family night, Sunday night, and we all got to pick what we did that night. So it was a way of everybody getting a turn to plan what fulfilled them individually. And it seemed like everybody but me and Andrea would pick the stupidest game that's ever been invented. It was called Ohed. It's just put it on your Christmas list to throw away or to re-gift. And so you'd play it. And everybody wanted to play it. And I just remember being so like, again, we're playing Oh Heck again. Can I just go play my Xbox? And I remember one time my dad saying, you know, you can have a great night by yourself or you can have a great family for the rest of your life. But you can't really have both. So I think sometimes just understanding the purpose and the value of, hey, this night might not be my favorite, but the people I'm doing it with are important. And instilling that vision. I don't have kids, but I fully plan to implement that as well.
Oh, I was waiting to hear you fully plan to have kids. I was getting excited. You paused it at a very interesting spot.
But anyway, so I would just say when you remember, like, it's not just about what we're doing, but it's about who we're doing it with. It can kind of help bring some of the purpose to, hey, we're doing this and it might not be my favorite, but what is my favorite is having a close family,
that's
you know?
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah, that is so good. Well, I just want to reiterate him because I really thought deep about it and planning to be excellent at all important relationships. I mean, you know, we hear things like, you know, on the just in our churches, we see that people really do spend more time sometimes planning vacations than their life. And so teaching them how to pray and to hear from the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 1, and to really plan to have a rich life, that's so important. But sometimes as pastors, it really does happen where our family gets the back burner. And I want to encourage people to plan for every important relationship. I mean, some of my best memories were going to plays with my daughters and doing things with my sons. And it doesn't make you more tired. It makes you less tired because you get so refreshed at it. And then planning to fulfill overall and individually. And it's really not long until your schedule starts filling up in a cool way. I mean, you start really looking forward to it. And I want Emily to talk about this, and that is that God's a God of both seasons and Sabbaths. So it's important that we plan weeks well, but also that we plan seasons well.
Yeah, that's good.
Sure. So hi, everyone. I would say for me, so I'm living in Tulsa, Oklahoma right now and have been for the last couple years, which has changed a little bit how I plan and see family, and has been a little bit of a learning curve. And I know that we're talking about family and ministry and balancing them. And I'm sure that there are a lot of people in here where I could be learning things from you, people who are watching. So hopefully this is helpful. But this is just something that I've found is one thing that I try to do in big seasons. So Christmas is usually a time when I'm home. The summertime is usually a time when I'm home. And my first text is usually to all of my family and is just asking them, is there anything that matters to you or that's big to you or to your kids that would be good for me to plan my schedule around to be there? So we're in this season of I have a sister-in-law who's graduating from PA school. I have nieces and nephews who are finding their own hobbies and things like that. My siblings will be preaching in different environments. So for me, it just helps me first to start with, okay, I want to plan the season well by like intentionally knowing what's important to the people in my life. And then that helps me because there have been times early in the first years when I was living in Oklahoma where I didn't do that. And I would leave the weekend before and I couldn't change my schedule around to be at something that would have been so easy had I thought to plan earlier. So I would say, like, you know, make sure that you prioritize those relationships early on, because as people grow up, life just gets bigger and busier. And so it really does take intentionality. In terms of the weeks, like planning weeks well, so this is something that I've just started focusing on more in the last couple of years, but I would say that my weekly rhythms help me to show up to like weekly engagements, but also to seasons better in my life. And so we talked a little bit earlier about how to plan relationships with excellence or something like that. And I think so much of that is having appointments, but I also think that it's preparing yourself to show up with an excellence in the attention that you're giving to the people in your world, you know? And so to me, I think it sounds so practical and so simple, but I think just thinking like, hey, I want to get a good night's sleep before I go like hang out with my family, or I want to like make sure that I've just taken care of myself so that I'm able to give my best and really listen to, you know, whether it's like a conversation, like over coffee or something, that I can really listen and give them my best attention, in our time together. So I would say, yeah, like make it a priority, know what's important to you, and then do your best to communicate ahead of time so that you can maximize the time together. And I know like life is not perfect. People have kids. You try to get to bed early and then your kid is like throwing up or something, you know, and so you don't have your best attention. So obviously things happen, but I think that the more that we're proactive, the more that we're able to capitalize and experience joy ourselves and bring joy to the people around us. So
good.
That's so good, Em. That's great. I think all of y'all got your planning skills from your dad. They're all such great planners and think ahead. I can remember feeling so overwhelmed with four kids and a growing church. And just, I remember one Christmas, I thought, how am I going to get everything done? How am I going to order all my gifts? And, you know, and I remember just sitting there, and that was before we ordered online everything, you know, from Amazon and stuff. But I remember just getting out the Vinny's catalog and ordering all the gifts from Vinny's. And it was awesome. They all came to my house and I made it. But I mean, it is so awesome to have a plan and to know what your priorities are so that you can look at things that you don't get stressed out and you can live at peace. And, you know, and I just love that my kids are planners and that they prioritize life and relationships. And that is so, so good. I'm a lot better now, but I've learned a lot and I appreciate all the help I get.
You're pretty amazing, Ashley. I mean, you planning amazing. Wasn't in your gift mix. Sometimes we go on a vacation and we just buy what we forgot to pack.
But, and we always
It makes life fun, but now you're so good, I'm usually the one that forgets something.
I'm better.
Christy, you're also a really good planner. You are a little bit like Andrea, that you always plan to bring something. Anything you want to say on this?
Yeah, I honestly have to admit, before I married into this family, or even maybe before I even became on staff at Faith Family Church, I was not the best planner. So just being a part of this family and a part of staff has tremendously helped my planning skills. And I'm super thankful for it. I'm not on Angie's level yet, but I'm getting there. I'm kind of more like Mimi, but she's a great planner, but she's still ways ahead of me.
I'll miss a few things.
But it is such a blessing to plan, honestly. Maybe not the funnest thing for everybody, but it's wonderful. It really helps in the long run. But I was just talking about it with Michael that, you know, when we plan ahead, it just prepares us for a more like successful, relaxing time. So like Michael and I will try to plan a trip, just me and him, or just somewhere to get away for 1 week out of the year, just me and him. And so obviously we have to plan ahead so that we can have a relaxing trip. And then also when we come back, we don't have everything that, you know, has fallen behind or balls that have dropped or anything like that. So it really pays off to, you know, plan ahead and really just be intentional about making sure all areas are covered. From top to bottom, whether it's kids, work, church, all that stuff, just to plan ahead. And that way you can have a successful time away. And then when you come back, not everything's just, you know, a big mess. So it's been really great to learn how to do that.
Yeah. Especially in the holidays. You want to enjoy your holiday too. But if you don't plan ahead to do that, you don't, you know, yeah, like, you're either stressing about what's not done while you're trying to enjoy it, or you're coming back stressed,
right?
You know, so,
which is not fun. So.
Yeah, so yes. We're learning to.
So I can't wait to hear you guys on this. I'm not going to talk long on this one because I think it's important when you talk about balance and family and ministry, and that is a plan to serve as a family. And all four of you guys served in the church, and people ask me, how'd your kids love God's work like they do? And I'd always tell them the same thing, and that is I didn't really care if you guys felt called to ministry or not, you know, in terms of vocational, you lead the church. But I did really care deeply that you guys had a passion for the local church and that you saw how valuable the local church was. So I know y'all remember, and I'd take you around town and say, okay, what's speaking to you? Is it the business world? Is it the television world? Is it the educational world? And of course, Jeffrey, you told me it was Dairy Queen that was speaking to you. But, you know, all of you guys served. And I'd love to hear you guys talk about just, you know, what it meant. Because your mom was really intentional about making sure you guys were using your gifts involved in the church.
Okay, who do you want to talk to?
Yes, you want to go first, or I think you and I probably...
You go first, Mike.
You want me to go first?
Go ahead.
Okay. It's been interesting because I've experienced this as a kid, and now we're experiencing this as parents with our 3 and our 2-year-old. And one thing that I think that was cool growing up is that I think being a part of it, feeling like you were a part of the church made all the difference. You know, it didn't feel like, okay, mom and dad have to go to work and do their thing. Like, we got to find our place. And so we're trying to be real intentional with that with our kids, mm-hmm. like finding ways that they can be, you know, this is church. Like, we're even intentional in our language.
Right.
Like, when I go to work, like during the day, but when we go to church together, we're going to church.
Yeah, it's, you know? Not work.
It's not work.
There's even times where we talk about when daddy's volunteering, you know, like when he has worship rehearsal or things like that. I say, daddy's volunteering. He's working with the worship team, things like that. We're just really intentional with our language.
Mm-hmm. Were you going to say something, Mom?
I said, I love that. When I heard y'all say that, even when the kids come to school, they come in one door and then for church, another door. So they don't think that it's all the same, you know. I think it's so important that how you're showing them just how to think about church. I think that's so, so important. That's so good, too. So creative.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing is, like, so when we grew up, I remember like doing a musical drama to get like dad acted in the musical drama. We did that together. Like, we did things together and we all were able to kind of find passion and gift areas that we could own. And so our kids are still pretty young, so we're not quite there yet. But one thing we're doing this year is we're like being involved in some of the holiday outreach stuff. Like, we did an angel tree together. We bought them each a little angel tree ornament. We talked about what it meant. And so just kind of teaching them those lessons about what we get to be a part of as a church, and just really being involved, just remembering that, like, we need church too. And like, our family church too. Mm-hmm. And so Yeah.
That was priceless, seeing all of your faces on the screen as we talked about Dad acting in musical drama. You could tell I wasn't good just looking at all your faces.
They're all laughing.
But how about this? Does anybody remember driving through the corn? Oh, no, no, no. Put their faces back up. I want to see. Anybody remember driving through the cornfield whenever we're supposed to go to the volunteer banquet?
Absolutely.
And I don't know what you guys were doing in the back, but I turned around. Next thing, we were in the middle of a cornfield.
Driving right through it.
We were asleep until we hit the corn, and then
I can remember your car seats going up and down, and y'all were sleeping.
Jeffrey, talk to me about this, because you've done a really good job at this in your department, even. But and I want to hear from you and Mom about just creating a calendar. You've been at it now for 4+ years in youth, and just designing events that are balanced and creating a yearly calendar. And then Tim, I'd love for you to just walk through our calendar for everybody.
Okay.
So, like the calendar for my team or for my family?
Both. Yeah, either one.
Okay, so I can tell you, I'll start with family. So I found that if I can center everything we plan our calendar around in 4 little categories, I'll probably be okay. And so Eden and I have this system that I created. I like it. It's our 4 Fs. And this is what they are. If it helps, you can use it. If not, you could throw it away. But we always think through on Sunday. We think, first of all, what food are we going to eat? Because for me, I don't know about you, but if I'm guessing what I'm going to eat, I'm going to be grumpy while I'm doing it. I just like to know where my next meal is, what it is, that it's healthy. So we think about food, and then we think about friends. Family falls into that. So, like, what friends are we going to see this week? Because we love each other so much that we could probably stay home all day and not go see people and probably just be fine. But we can't do that. So we got to go see people, and we love seeing people. So we think, okay, is there a birthday this week? Is there, one of our friends graduating or something? So we put it on the calendar. So food, friends, and then we have to think about like our finances. So we do our budget. And then we also think, for us, a big thing is like, when are we actually going to go work out? So we think fitness. Like, when are we going to work out this week? Because what I've found is if I don't think about all 4 of those things, then they'll all fall through. If I don't plan food, family, fitness, and finances, then I'll either not see people, or I'll just eat junk, or, I won't even make it to the gym because I'm trying to see everybody, or, all of that stuff. Or I'm spending money on everything because I didn't really think about my week that carefully. So when we sit down and do our calendar, we sit down Sunday and we do it for the week. Those are the 4 things we think about, because we think, okay, if all of that stuff is already pre-decided, it'll probably bring us a lot of peace this week.
That's good. Yep. And you even meal prep, right?
We do. That's we awesome. Try.
Yeah. What night do you guys meal prep?
We meal prep Sunday nights, and then Tuesday nights, and then Thursday nights.
So if I want to come see you, I need to come after Sunday night. That had nothing to do with the webinar. But Tamara, do you want to take them through just kind of our schedule and how you plan our calendar? Because I think it's a good flow.
I'll try. Will you help me?
I will. I'll help you.
Okay, what are you talking about? Starting
I'm just talking about, like, for us, 1 Sunday night a month. Okay,
we do a family night a month, because we have so many in the family now that there's usually a birthday. I think there's almost a birthday.
We just celebrate all birthdays for the month.
Every birthday for the month.
Yeah. I love that you do that.
Yeah, well, that's just gets us all together. And again, we have to be so intentional, because you think that because a lot of us work together that we see each other and have these meaningful conversations. No, we're working up here.
And we have basically every Sunday. That's the main conversation.
Yeah. And so we like to get together where it's not just church. It's we can see each other and have fun and eat and celebrate birthdays.
Yeah, we can play Oh Heck with Jeffrey.
Yeah, won't do that on his night. But so once a month we do that, or have a family get together if there's no birthdays. But I think just about everyone has a birthday almost.
Yeah. So for us, it's really pretty easy. And that is, we do that 1 Sunday night a month. Then, when your kids get married, they've got a lot of other relational commitments so everything changes. And so what we do is on the other Sunday nights, we tend to just go out with one couple or something like that. Yeah. But for you and I, Sunday night's been family night.
Yeah.
Then on Thursday night, what's Thursday night?
Thursday night, we have one of our grandkids come over to the house, and usually they spend the night, and we just have a great time. We take them to school the next day, but that just gives us, and we've been doing Andrea's kids one-on-one, and so that gives us a little more individual time with them, and they enjoy that. We enjoy that. We get to just spoil them and then send them home.
And then Friday night?
And then Friday night, we have a date night.
How about that?
And we've kept that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure it's more difficult with, you know, blended family. But again, as a pastor, you can't have a relationship with everyone who wants to have a relationship with you, unfortunately. Right. You should want to. Mm-hmm. And I like what Jeffrey and Eden do in that they say, hey, you know what? We're going to make room for friends. We're going to make room for other people, and we're going to look forward to that.
Right.
And we started a leadership academy in the church, and you and I are going to come back and just eat dinner
right.
with people before it starts.
Right.
Just to spend time with people.
And we do take Monday off. Our off day is Monday and has been for years and years. You've been pretty good about taking an off day.
Yeah. So I really tried not to just say some trite things in this broadcast, but to think about things maybe that pastors aren't doing, you know, that might help them. And one is just planning to be excellent at every relationship, because we all know this, but A.W. Tozer broke my heart when I was reading about his life, because, man, he had so much great revelation, so many great sermons. But his family wasn't there at the end of his life when he was dying, because they had some bitterness and some things. And planning to be excellent at all important relationships is important. And then planning not just overall. Some people just plan big nights and they say that's family night. But if hearts aren't connected, it has to be both individual and overall. And then weeks and seasons. And we all have times like Christmas, you know, when we're super busy, or Easter. But, you know, for our staff, I like the fact that pretty much nobody's working between Christmas Day and New Year's Day, because we've worked so hard leading into that. And then planning to serve as a family. You know, if serving isn't fun for your family, then down the road they probably won't become leaders in a church, because they're going to have bad memories, not good memories. And then creating a family calendar. And we like to say that God said 6 days shall you work. I mean, we work hard. But he didn't say six, he didn't say 7 days, and he didn't say 6 days and six nights. He said 6 days. And for me, you know, the Bible says the Sabbath is a gift. So we decided long ago that honeydews did not feel like a gift for me. So they were not a Sabbath activity. They weren't going to make my calendar, because it did not feel like a gift. And those are sometimes the hard things that we have to have a talk about, I think, for things to work out. Now, this is probably one that you'll never hear on another webinar when it comes to how to have balance in your family and ministry, but I put it on here because it matters to me, and that is create a continuing education plan as a leader. You say, why is that on there? Well, because the reason a lot of pastors overwork is because they don't want to not be successful. That's obvious. That's why everybody overworks. But as pastors, sometimes we can feel like, man, I work for God. I for sure don't want to fail at what God's asked me to do. Yeah. And before you know it, you're overworking, and you don't recognize that the real answer to that isn't overworking. It's getting yourself sharper so you do what you do better than you used to do it. It's like what Abraham Lincoln said, that if he had to go cut down so many trees, the first thing he'd do was make sure his blade was sharp. And the Bible says that if the axe isn't sharp, more strength is needed, but skill always brings success. So I just want to encourage pastors to have a good continuing education plan every year, and to put your pressure on that instead of the pressure on yourself, and make sure that you don't let the lines for your family get violated because you're just always working because you feel like, man, well, I'm doing this for my family. Well, when they get older, they're not going to feel like you were doing that for them. Right,
that's,
Tamara?
That's really good. And, you know, Jim, you put this in here. I don't know if you said it just like this, but we're surrounded by people who love us when we perform as they like. And that's not really healthy. We should be surrounded by people who appreciate the effort we put forth. That's really good. And, no matter how old we are, we need to keep learning. I know technology has stretched me and stretched you too. And you know, we know that if we're going to keep up with things, we're going to have to keep learning. And, you know, I've continued to grow in lots of areas, as just as you have, in skills and planning and, you know, speaking and all those things. But yeah, you have to have, I remember one time I was feeling really dry and, you know, just speaking and stuff. And so I remembered listening to a podcast or something, and I just felt like I got so filled up. you know, just again, and I realize when you're giving a lot, you need to keep putting stuff in you and filling your heart up with truth and with inspiration. And so anyway, I just, we all need to keep something out there that we're learning and growing in.
Yeah. You know, Em, you've worked in a few different roles in your, I guess you're going to be at the 9-year point maybe this year. You've been a young adult leader. You've been a communications director. And of course you worked in a department before you became the director of it. And then you also, for just a brief time, you, because you have a business degree from Texas A&M, you helped me with staff management. So talk to me about this from your perspective as we were, you know, working with staff and doing things. Some of your thoughts.
Sure. So in thinking about this, I put it in three P's because I was raised by pastors, and that's just helps me remember things. So I hope it's helpful for you. But one for me, I try to approach it like prayerfully and, you know, obviously, like I'm sure all of you do, and just, you know, like, Lord, who do you want me to become this year? Sometimes I don't feel like it's anything specific. You know, I feel like he speaks through my leaders or through something else. But this past year, I did feel like there was a book that he dropped in my heart. It's called The Emotionally Healthy Leader by Pete Scazzaro, if you guys haven't heard of it or read it. And I found it really helpful so far. But one is just to be prayerful. And then second, to do it in partnership with the leaders who are over me. So a lot of times our leaders will see blind spots or growth opportunities for in us or for us that we don't see in ourselves because we're just doing every day the best we know how with the tools that we already have in our tool belt. And so I like to ask, Michael is actually my boss right now. So I asked him at the beginning of the year, you know, what are some books you would recommend? And he actually had a really good one for social media, a resource. And so just doing it with people like the leaders that you who are over you is helpful. And then the last one is I would say, try to do it with the future perspective of like, who do I want to be a year from now? You know, do I want to be better at communicating interpersonally? Do I want to be better with my money and with my finances? You know, do I want to be better in a certain aspect of my career? So if I don't think about who I want to be a year from now, then I'm probably not going to become who that person is, you know? So I think just maybe trying to plan it according to those three P's, prayerful, partnership with leaders, and then future perspective is what's been helpful for me.
Yeah, that's so good.
It's good.
Christy, talk to us about it because you've been a part of Faith Family for a long time. Your mom was the second wedding that I did. She went through, you know, just a really difficult thing and had to rebuild her life, and then you worked in the school, and next thing you know, you became my son's wife and my daughter-in-law. So you've been around here, you know, you've been in the church as long as Michael has. You're the only one you're the only one on this broadcast that can say you've been in church as long as Michael.
That's right. I think longer. Maybe, yeah, I don't know. It's been a long time.
Yeah, you were here before we got here.
No, right. She was.
I don't want to tell anybody my age. So. But I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but I have. So anytime I take on something new or I'm in a new role, and as we all know in ministry, sometimes our roles can change frequently. We can wear, you know, a few hats at, you know, at one time, but sometimes it can take a lot of time to execute things that I've never done before. So I'm always so amazed as I learn how much more efficient I become the second and third times that I do something. So rather than being reactive, it's good to be proactive with that development. So what are some things I need to be learning and growing at? You know, I can kind of ask myself. So when this time comes around, I can execute it efficiently and effectively. And this efficiency just gives us, you know, the space we need as leaders to not burn out or not get frustrated or just feel like we're constantly on a treadmill. So,
right. Yeah, that's so good. Well, we made it to number 7. Okay. And here's number 7, and that is manage the time suckers. And man, are there a lot of those in the ministry, right? And I just have a couple of thoughts, and I'm going to let a few of the kids share their thoughts, and we'll be done. But number 1, the Bible is so clear that we're to give our primary attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. So if your prayer time feels rushed or your sermon prep time feels rushed, that's never the will of God for a pastor. And people can tell if we've been with God or not. Martin Luther said, if it's one day, I can tell. If it's 2 days, I think my wife can tell. By the third day, the whole church can tell. And so people follow us because we follow Christ. And that's any time sucker that keeps us from prayer and ministering the word to the best of the capacity we have at the age we're at, then we need to think about that. The second thing, though, that we do in our afternoons, and we used to say it this way, I have prime time. That's my time with God. I have my time, which is my time with God. I have prime time, which is my sermon prep time. I have grind time, which is when I'm building all my teams. And then I have find time. And find time is when I'm finding the key people in my world, making sure all my relationships are good. Mm-hmm. But anyway, when you're building those relationships or you're building the teams, just know none of us can fulfill the 59 one another commands Jesus gave to his church. So if we can't fulfill them in people, we need to help them find people who can so they have fulfilling relationships. And just to manage those time suckers by saying, I'm going to start with prayer and the ministry of the word. I'm going to build teams and hopefully have a church filled with flourishing relationships. I mean, even as I'm saying this, when I started ministry, pastors didn't feel like we were supposed to do that. And so we put on good services and we had attractional services. But now I just love how pastors are getting it, that we're called to do more than that. We're called to help people have all these flourishing relationships. Last thing I want to say is, man, I would do things to make sure things didn't suck my time up. So I would do things like call somebody and say, hey, I'm going to put Mike or Jeffrey or Andrea, Emily, I'm going to be putting to bed here in about 10 or 15 minutes, but I want to give you a call before I did. And I'd always have something next so that people couldn't just suck my time. Even to this day, when a service is over, all of our staff's available to everybody. But then we have a team meeting at the end because then somebody can't just come suck one of our staff people's time. So is there anything, Tim, you want to say to that?
No, I just think that's so good because in light of all that we're, you know, sharing today, God calls us to be good examples as families. And people need just good examples for family. You know, they come from so much brokenness. And if we could just set a good example, not a perfect example, none of us are, but if we could just set a good example in how we use our time, how we love each other, how we invest in each other, that's always so helpful to people who are in our church.
Yeah, that's so good. Jeffrey, how about you? Got anything you want to say about that?
Yeah, I think so. You obviously, we've been talking about planning our time, and time and money are those two things where it's like, if you don't tell it where to go, other people will tell it where
that's
to
good.
Go. So you tell you that stuff where to go. But then the hardest part, I think, for most people and myself is when they've set their priorities and their schedule, somebody will bring something else up. And oftentimes it's really good. Like, hey, you know, I've been invited to so many quinceañeras. If you don't know what that is. But so many things. And you just have to be okay saying no.
Yeah.
We feel so bad saying no. But honestly, people understand. And something I tell my team is you can be clear and kind at the same time. They're not opposite. So
yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've said, man, that sounds fun, but no, I'm not going to be there. Sorry. Me and Eden have something planned that was on the calendar already, but I hope you guys have a great time.
It's good.
You know, and most people understand.
Yeah.
And truthfully, if they don't, then they'll learn to. Or
you don't want to lose your family because they don't understand.
Right.
You don't want to lose your key relationships.
Yeah.
And I'd encourage people, do it during the offering. Just stand up. I remember standing up when the church was young and saying, hey, you know what? We just added 100 families this year. So now we have 300 and whatever families in the church. If each one of you cooked for me a different night, I'd save so much money. I'd gain a lot of weight, but I'd save money. And they laughed with me, and I helped them see that I can't say yes to every invitation because I'd be being partial to some and not being fair to others.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, that's my biggest thing is it's not super overcomplicated. Just you have to be kind and clear, but like, no, I can't. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you already have a plan,
but clear helps them see it, right? Yeah. You got to make sure they see it when you do that.
Sure. And you can tell them what you have next, like you said.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a date planned, or we have whatever.
Yeah. I had a sound guy one time, and I don't probably shouldn't take this much time, but he would always kind of like suck my time. And I said to him one night, I said, you know, I said, is your wife not upset you're still here? And he just looked at me. I said, because I know mine is that I'm here. And I was really trying to help him to get his life together. And sadly, honestly, he ended up divorced. So that wasn't good. Andrea, do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, you know, I would have said something similar to what Jeff said, but I think something that helps us as we're thinking through this season and sitting down with our spouses or staffs or whoever, whatever kind of calendar we're creating, is to really spend time in prayer first and just not to over-spiritualize it, but really say, you know, sometimes there's things in specific seasons that God wants. So like, hey, this Christmas, like, what should my priorities be? There are some that are going to be the same every year, but sometimes there are different focuses God shows us, you know, like this year, I really feel like he wants me to teach my kids, focus with them about serving and giving. And so just kind of do that. And then when you sit down to set your calendar, you know, you remember your why, you remember your priorities, and it makes it a lot easier when you remember your why to say no. A lot of those time suckers are external ones, you know, like people. But then there's also, I think it's good to remember there's internal ones too, at least for me, and to be very clear with ourselves, like, I'm not going to let stress be a time sucker. I'm not going to let worry be a time sucker. Comparison be a time sucker, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to make room for joy. And I think it's no coincidence that, you know, in Philippians 4, when Paul talks about, anxious thoughts, right after that, he says, whatever's true, noble, right, lovely, admirable, think on those things. And I think that's because whenever we already, kind of like with our calendar, when we already have something there, we're not going to fill it with something else. And so just being aware of those external and internal.
That's really good.
That's so good.
That's really good.
Well, Michael, next week you're going to be leading a webinar with Joe Caminiti. You want to tell us about that? And before you do that, though, why don't you share the final thoughts today on just managing time suckers? Because you were my kid. You've seen that. You've seen that from you were 2 years old when we came here to pastor the church.
Almost two.
That's right. Yeah. I think what Jeff and Andrea said, you know, is very similar to, I think that's really good stuff. You know, I think it's kind of all about guardrails and boundaries, right? And so, like Jeff, you were saying, whenever you actually, we've been talking about having a schedule, having a plan, when you have that in place, you can set guardrails and boundaries to kind of, I know, Dad, you've told me you treat everything as an appointment, and I've learned to do that. Like, just because it's dinner with my family doesn't mean it's not an appointment, doesn't mean right. Just because it's personal, it is, you know? And so, just putting those things in our life so that we have those. One thing that you do, and we're talking about people because we all love people, and in ministry, we can kind of have a heart to want to talk to everybody and talk to them, you know, for as long as they need us to talk to them. But then we're not talking to other people who need us, you know? And so, Dad, one thing I know that I've seen y'all do that I think is a good guardrail is you guys have people over there with you when you're greeting people after service so that they can kind of help, you know, if somebody is, you know, lingering, wanting more time than you have for them, they can kind of help keep it moving and do it in a loving way. That way you're not having to do that, but it's a guardrail there for you, you know, to help set that boundary. And then another thing you do is you have a time in your week that if people really do need to meet with you, you do have that time every week, you know, so it's not like that's not there, but it's just putting everything in the right place, you know? And so I think that's what helps us with managing time suckers is just knowing how to put everything in the right place and then lovingly help people kind of understand that. So you guys are awesome. Appreciate you. Next week, it's not next week, actually, in 2 weeks.
That's right.
You want me to go ahead and talk about the webinar in 2 weeks?
Let me just say this one last thing, then you can talk about the webinar. But I learned this from another pastor, and it's so good that at the end of the service, if you have people that are one person kind of taking more time than they should, not because they have a bad heart, but maybe just because they're hurting, you know, and you want to design what they need for God to heal them and help them. But if you have somebody and if they line people up like, wow, that person's doing that, you just gently have them put somebody beside, then you can always end with a big smile, a hug. I'll say sometimes, Tamara, let's pray for them. And then you just turn your eyes to the next person.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take people long. People really have to be pretty unhealthy for you to lose them. You will lose some that are just, that's what they're going to demand. But for the most part, people get it whenever you lead right.
And you know, when you just focus, if you keep your focus on people and don't look around when you're talking to people, it just helps. You know, we've always done that or learned that. Just, I guess we saw it from somebody, but just stay focused on the person that's right in front of you. And then when it's time to turn your focus, go to something else. Otherwise, we get so distracted with the people around us, but just stay focused. And then when it's time to move on to the next one, focus on them, you know?
Yeah, Pat Murray just put, listen, planning out front disallows time suckers to invade the essential. That's good. I love it. That's great on the chat board. on Facebook. So, well, Mike, go ahead. Why don't you let us know what's going to happen here in 2 weeks?
Yeah, so in 2 weeks, I'm going to have a good friend, Pastor Joe Caminiti Jr. from Boardman, Ohio. He's going to be joining us on the webinar. We're going to be talking about why Gen Z and millennials are leaving the church. And that sounds like a negative title, but I'm thankful to be a part of a place where we're seeing Gen Z and millennials coming to church, you know, and just proud of our next generation team. Pastor G, all that you guys are doing, and Dad, just everything going on where we're at. And but it is a challenge, right? It's new generations, it's new ways of thinking. It's we've all been brought up in different cultures, and so we're going to talk about that, and we're going to just share some things that we've seen, and just from studying different experiences and things like that that we've seen that are attributing to why we're seeing Gen Z and millennials leave the church, and what we can do about it to help them fall in love with Jesus and experience all he has for them. So I can't wait for that. It's going to be in 2 weeks, same time, same place.
That's going to be great.
Yep, I can't wait to watch it.
I know.
I'm looking forward to
it. It's going
to
be really good.
Pastor Joe Jr. is awesome, man. They're doing an awesome job there.
We love Joe and Gina, his parents, and Joe and Aaron. They're awesome, awesome. Can't wait for the conference to see everybody. Going to be great. So, well, you guys ready? 1, 2, 3. Merry Christmas,
Merry
everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Hope you have the best ever.
Love you guys.
Thank you for joining us.